Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
That we get you. People only tune in for our laughs, so
I'm great, awesome. I'm here for it. After years of being told that I have a very distinct and sometimes annoying laugh,
who told you had an annoying laugh?
You have been in a theater with me when I am watching a play and I think something is funny, and I am the only person in the theater who laughs. I have a very, very loud laugh.
I don't know. We're friends with Natasha, so I'm like,
That's true. I don't have a grating laugh. I just have an abrupt laugh sometimes. And when Jillian, one of my sisters, was in high school, I would go see her plays, and her entire class would be like, "Oh, Erin's here. Okay, great." Like, I can't go to things on nights that are being taped because my laugh is really distinctive, and I will laugh when things go wrong. I, like, can't help it. So, it's nice to hear that my laugh is appreciated sometimes.
I like it. Catwind, how are you?
Catwind. I'm pretty good. You know, busy as fuck.
Oh, do I know?
I know, you know. I mean,
how am I going?
I went to 2 professional networking events last night.
Oh.
Yep. Actually, both of them were great. One of them was...
Did you get wine?
I had beer at the first one, and then at the second one, there was an open bar and a bunch of food.
Woo! That's a bonus about those things. Where were they?
The first one, I was at the 33rd floor lounge in the Willis Tower. A friend of mine works there, and so we had, like, a mentor session, and we were, like, talking about careers and, like, mistakes that people make and how to, like, switch. She was in a career for 9 years and is now in a new one. And so we were talking about very similar to my situation. So I went to this and it was just like a one-on-one thing. It was super fun. I was there for like an hour and a half. And then I met up with Michael at his networking thing. So I didn't have to, like, be on at all. I got to just, like, go and relax. And I had just met some of these people at a barbecue we had gone to a couple nights before. It was, like, really fun. We played pool with one of the, like, other couples that was there. They asked us how we met, and we both just started laughing, and we're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, you need a muggle story.
Well, we just tell people that we met through a friend, which is not a lie, but we both had, like, we were, like, loose enough. Michael wasn't drinking, but I had been, and we both were just, like, having a really good time, and we just, like, no poker faced it. It was just, like, gone, and we both started laughing, and he was like, "I'm sorry, we work together, and it feels, like, really inappropriate to, like, actually tell you what happened, so here's the story we tell people." And they both were like, "Oh, no, absolutely not, unacceptable." They were like, "We're gonna hang out later as, like, a foursome." And then later he comes up to me, the husband and this couple, and is like, "I just got my medical marijuana card, and we're gonna hang out sometime." And I was like, "Sold, awesome." So it was actually pretty nice.
That's funny.
It was weird to be like, "Oh, I'm doing these, like, weird adult networking
normal things."
Yeah, I know, but it was, like, actually pretty fun. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to. So pleasant. It's been pleasant.
Is that your word of the hour?
Don't say that. No, unacceptable. How are you? How was your trip?
I am very wrestling hungover.
I'm fucking sure.
I'm very wrestling hungover.
Is it like a Shimmer Weekend hangover?
No, not as bad as a Shimmer Weekend hangover because, okay, like, I was on a vacation, and in a Shimmer Weekend, you are trapped in a building all day. And then you go back to a building to be trapped in the building. Whereas in, like, yeah, SummerSlam was really long and TakeOver, but, like, it's not like they were back-to-back, like a Shimmer show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, we love Shimmer, but, like, whatever.
If you've been to a Shimmer taping, you know.
Speaking of which,
you understand.
At SummerSlam, the Barclays Center has this, like, candy store inside of it. So stupid. A, we saw David Arquette in candy store.
Awesome.
And I knew, I recognized him immediately because obviously, like, we see his face more than the average person being a wrestling fan. And I was like, oh, Nick, look, it's David Arquette. And I don't care about that at all. And I went to go get my, like, gummy bears or whatever. And he was like, what? Are you serious? And I was like, yeah, he's right there. And then some other people were doing double takes. And I was like, leave him alone, dudes. He just wants to get candy. That's so funny. I was, like, filling up my Jelly Bellies, like, what's up, David?
He just had his, like, first professional wrestling match. Know. Like,
it's as clear that he was just there to, like, hang out and watch wrestling. I mean, SummerSlam is the biggest party of the summer. But on the way outside of the candy shop or before, I hear somebody go, hey, are you still at Cheeks?
Yes!
Even in the Barclays Center.
I fucking love it when people do that. It, every single time, it makes me so happy. Michael hates it, which makes me even happier. Like, I fucking love it. It's so great.
It was just so funny. Like, there's so many people there. But I met, his Instagram name is Matt2J. He is a burlesque photographer and an indie wrestling photographer. Nice. Also a good photographer. I'm real bitchy about photography because I get my picture taken a lot. Like, I don't, I'm really particular. He's actually, like, a good photographer.
That is a high endorsement.
He was like, oh, yeah, I saw you at the Shimmer tapings, but I wasn't quite sure that was you. So I didn't say anything. And I was like, oh, you totally should have. I was like, oh, are you going to be there in October? And he was like, yeah, I'll definitely be there. I was like, cool, like, come say hi. Like, I really like your work. His photos are really good. So, like, that was cool. And his the girl he was with was really nice. And so, like, that was cool. And then Nick weirdly ran into somebody he used to personal train with. And this guy.
Weird.
In the candy store. It was all hubbed around the what candy the store. Fuck? So,
magical candy store.
Really want the candy store in the Barclays. So the guy, Nick is like, oh, this is my fiance Alexis. Like, she's very into wrestling. Like, that's why we're here. He's like, this is her fucking life. Her sad life. And he, and I was like, oh, are you into wrestling? He goes, oh, I just own, like, a lot of stock in the company. And I was like, oh, you own a lot of stock in the company? Like, in WWE? He goes, yeah, I just thought I should check it out. Oh. And I was like, and I just turned around and went back to my Jelly Bellies. I was like, I can't handle this. And then he has some big people in his family. And I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense. But, like, it's such a weird thing to be like, I just invested in this company. I just wanted to make sure it was on the up and up. So I got me a ticket to the biggest party of the summer.
So, I love the idea that you just go to WWE once in a while and are like, let me check in on how, I bet that's a way.
Let me just
way,
check in on my investment.
I bet that's a way better way to watch WWE, yeah, right? To be honest. Also,
SummerSlam overall was pretty good. Like, I would agree, it's not that a terrible one that.
I would agree with that. I feel like there was some strange booking choices a little bit, but overall, like, as a 4-day event, I felt like it was really good.
Yeah.
I felt like I was more invested in some of these stories than
that
I
was better
been
than WrestleMania, if I'm being honest.
Barely remember.
So funny. So I'm wrestling hungover. Also, I just came here. We're at Erin's recording straight from my therapist's office. I haven't seen her in like 2 years. So I just talked at her for an hour. So I'm a little like, ugh.
Like, well, talked out.
I'm like talked out and wrestling hungover. So we'll see how this talking about wrestling goes. Overall, the weekend was really great. We got to see some people like Julie and my friend Frankie. I also got to see the girl that I used to nanny. I met her at the Brooklyn Children's Museum. And there was, like, this moment, like, out of a movie. Like, she saw me. I got there first. And she saw me from far away and, like, wiggled out of her dad's arms and then, like, ran to me. And I, like, aww, scooped her up. It was so sweet. There was also a funny moment where we're all hanging out. And she pooped. She's two. And her mom was like, oh, come on. We got to go change your diaper. And she goes, no. Yaya. She calls me Yaya. She, like, grabbed my hand and was like, you will be changing my diaper. And her mom was like, you don't have to change your diaper. Like, you're not our nanny anymore. And I was like, it's fine. But it was just funny. She was like, no. Yaya.
That's so funny. Yaya is what my nieces on Michael's side call their grandma.
Yeah, it's a grandma name.
Why does she call you Yaya?
Because Alexis is hard to say. And when she tries to say Alexis, it comes out as Yaya. I've had somebody call me Exit. That was my favorite.
Exit?
A 2-year-old, yeah.
That's a great
Asher
name.
Used to call me Exit. He would come home and be like, hey, Exit! And he'd be like, hey, Ash, what's up?
That's awesome.
And
that's
his nickname was Smash, so together we were Smash and Exit.
God, that's, oh, those are both great names.
Yeah.
That's, if you were, like, a competitive hip-hop dancer, your name would be Exit, for sure. Absolutely.
Or freestyle rap artist. From New Zealand.
Yeah. Yes.
My mom, Exit. I'm here to rape for you.
Oh, God.
Yes, so that was really fun. Sitting in the Barclays Center for all of SummerSlam really did a number on my knees, though. I was like, ugh.
Gotta bring some, like, muscle cream or something like, next time. Pads. Yeah. Just for but, two knee braces.
But it was really fun. It was funny combating with people on Twitter who I would be commenting on stuff that was, like, actually happening in the Barclays that people couldn't see or hear. And they'd be like, not really. The mics are turned down. Or, I'm pretty sure they were saying this. And I was like, bitch, I'm in the building. I'm in the building. What are you doing? But other than that, I'm great. What wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I am wearing my Becky Lynch 100% Badass brown and black steampunk.
Like the very steampunk-y one.
Mm-hmm.
Me too!
Yay! Yeah, obviously. This is like when we had the Dean synchronicity.
She's
like,
a badass.
Yeah, absolutely. Also,
she's relentless. Oh. That's what our new shirt says.
I mean, it's a good pun.
Also, that orange is great.
It is. I really like it.
I haven't bought a wrestling shirt in a minute. I've actually been really good. I really like that orange one.
I have one in my pocket that I've been saving for a special occasion. I think I might get a third Becky Lynch shirt.
Would you have the beginning one, that one, and then...
No, I've got that green one of her doing the
I have her original flex. NXT one. Mm. And then the one that we're wearing, and then I kind of want that bad or relentless.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I don't have any orange shirts.
I don't think I do either, actually. It's weird.
I mean, orange is a weird color. Why are you wearing this shirt, Erin?
Because Becky Lynch is a fucking badass. It was so satisfying to watch her turn on Charlotte.
Okay, before that, so from my angle and my perspective, that match looked amazing. The women's match looked really good, but then I heard a bunch of people, because I tweeted, like, oh, that match was great, and a bunch of people were like, Butch City, or whatever. How was it watching live?
The first time I watched it, I enjoyed it. I mean, it's like, it's such a long weekend, and it's WWE, so it's easy to, like, tune out a little bit, some of it. But I enjoyed what I was watching, and then I rewatched it a second time, and I disliked it more the second time. And I think part of it was that there were some, like, really obvious, it was the way that the cameras were positioned. When Charlotte did that, like, awesome corkscrew moonsault thing, they, zoomed in on Becky and Carmella, like, looking up at her, like, getting ready to take this spot. And so it, like, really took away from how awesome that spot was. Yeah. It, like, felt like this weird moment. And I also felt like it wasn't... I felt like Becky could have had more opportunities to wrestle better. Knowing what happened at the end, I kind of, like, appreciated it a little more. I did think it was the best Carmella has ever wrestled.
Yeah, I thought Carmella looked really good.
I thought she did great. And I think that maybe that's part of it, is that because she was kind of, like, leading in a lot of ways that the other two, like, I think are used to leading. And so it felt like their performances were a little under what they could have delivered. But I feel like now...
You're also matching everybody's talent in the ring. So yeah. It's not, like, making people look ridiculous.
And I also, like, now we know it's because Becky and Charlotte are actually going to have a feud. And, like, why pull out your best shit against each other when you're... going, you know that this is where this is headed. So, like, it's weird. I feel a little two ways about it, where, like, I understand why they did what they did, but watching the match itself, like, in seclusion, it definitely could have been better.
See, I think from my angle, it looked great. I didn't see any matches. I didn't see any of that. It looked really, really good. But I was also in the stadium, and I could feel everyone's anticipation for
yes,
Becky.
Yes, absolutely.
And I could feel everyone getting excited and getting, and then I could feel everyone, like, boo, and then I could feel everybody in the heel turn. So, like, I think, but, like, specifically watching it, I felt everybody's anticipation rising, and I felt everyone really keyed into this match. And yeah. I know, I mean, at the beginning, it was pretty quiet, the audience, but I think it's because, honestly, people were like, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of the reason I really liked it. Again, I was... From my angle, I didn't see anything bad happen, and I didn't see any botches or anything, so I really liked it.
Yeah, I mean,
I fucking liked it.
And, like, Becky looked badass. Her makeup was awesome.
Here's the thing, a bunch of people were like, oh, well, she's got shit smeared all over her. First of all, this is consistent with the looks that Becky has done for her pay-per-view. She goes into that, like, Celtic warrior type thing.
Right.
And it was also like, it fits her character and her theme, and she had a cohesive outfit.
Yeah. And it was executed very well. Yes. That's part of it. Like, it was blended very well, and, like, the dots on the top were blended super well, and, like, it looked individual. Like, it read very, very well for camera. And part of what I like about her makeup is that by the end, it was mostly gone. Like, I know the idea is that it's supposed to stay on, and you're not supposed to sweat it off for certain things. Like, Carmella and Charlotte, like, shouldn't be sweating their makeup off. But I like the idea that someone with face paint, it comes off. It happens with Jeff Hardy. It happened with the Ultimate Warrior, who is a piece of shit. But yeah, it like happens with everyone who kind of paints their face. And like, I mean, we're obviously gonna have to compare this to Ronda and how awful that looked. But her, did you see her renders of her with the title? Like,
She looked crazy.
It looks better smeared like that when it's done in the like still light of a render where it's like you clearly went through some kind of battle and maybe that's why it looks a little crazy, as opposed to when she came out and it was like, whoa, what is happening here? But it like that like smeared makeup look works, and I think that Becky also benefited from it being very consistent with her look. Like, all of it worked.
Yeah.
And she's like hot. She's so hot. She's so buff. Her arms are so great. Ugh.
She's got great thighs too. Ugh. So she turns. Well, she attacks. Let's not say turns yet. We know that she turns, but she attacks Charlotte after this hug, and then the crowd starts chanting, "You deserve it," to Charlotte. Again, I was fucking there. It wasn't "You deserve it" to Becky, because Becky didn't fucking do anything.
Yeah.
She fought Charlotte. Charlotte, you deserve this beating.
Yeah.
So then there was this whole debate, like, is this a heel turn, or is this, like, you know, because the crowd loves her. There is this debate that, like, if you're a heel, the crowd should boo you, right? Like, that's the old idea.
Yes.
Like, boo the heel, cheer the face. Right. That's wrestling, period. Mm-hmm. Good guy, bad guy, black and white wrestling. But everyone loves Becky. And everyone has this, like, righteous anger for her. And everyone kind of is over Charlotte. Like, you can... I mean, I heard somebody say, it looks like Charlotte left, came back. It looks like Charlotte left, got bigger tits, came back, and immediately got the title. And, like... Kinda.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who cares? Like, I think her tits look great. Like, she can...
They do look really
like, whatever.
Good.
That's
They look more natural now than they did before, too, I think.
But, like, it is a classic WWE, like...
Oh, 100%.
Superstar leaves. Superstar with name, who's already had a ton of title reigns, who's already, you know, leaves, gets bigger tits, comes back, wins title. Like, what?
It's too bad they don't have women's tag titles. Billy and Peyton could have took it home. That would have been nice. Although they're not blonde, so maybe they're
They're missing the one key thing, and they don't have the last name Flair. But so everybody was like, is it going to be heel turn, or is she going to be face? Like, Charlotte was crying, and people were like cheering that Charlotte was crying.
Right.
But then Becky came out, and it's delivering, regardless of the intent of everything on SmackDown, Becky delivered a great promo.
Yeah, she did a great job. And she kind of was given chicken shit and made chicken salad out of it. Like,
right, because she comes out and is talking about why she did it. And everyone's like, yes, of course, yes.
We totally agree with you.
But then she does the classic WWE specifically heel nonsense where she's like, and you, the audience, this is also your fault. You don't cheer for me. And they were like, yes, we do! We love you so much!
I saw someone, I don't remember the person who tweeted this, but they said something along the lines of, like, Becky says to the crowd, you never believed in me, and the crowd is like, yes, we are scum! We hate us!
Yeah, kinda.
And because I was watching it later, and I had read that, and when I got to that part, I was like, oh, it's absolutely what this feels like.
So, like, as soon as she started blaming the audience, I was like, oh, heel turn. This is a for real heel turn.
Yeah, this is a heel turn.
So it's interesting because
she's
in
like
this,
being protected by the heels in their, like...
And the so bra, the like, heels went to her. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So it's a little confusing because, like, in no world, at least right now, in no foreseeable future, unless they have a long-term plan, LOL.
LOL.
Is the audience going to cheer Charlotte over Becky?
Never.
unless it's some, like, reverse psychology thing where, like, Becky's the heel only to make Charlotte hate it even more, and then they flip it sometime or, like, something. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. But, like, I don't want to discount. It's not Becky's fault. Like, Becky is doing great with everything.
Absolutely.
And I'm, you know, sometimes I like to cheer the heels. I mostly like to cheer the heels, if I'm being honest. Like, yay, Kevin Owens.
I was literally just going to say the same thing. There are so many people who feel that way about so many male heels. Like, all right, if they're going to make Becky a heel, that's fine. I'm still going to cheer for her.
Right. So, I don't know. I feel like people are getting really all up in their shackles about it. But the bottom line is like, fucking good for Becky.
She's... Who cares what she's supposed to be doing? The point is, she's in the fucking title picture again.
And she's got a new shirt.
And looks great. And her gear looks really good. Like, Becky, the best.
And Carmella being like, hey, I need my rematch. Hey, I'm still important. And Paige being like, oh, you're not, though. I'll give you a rematch, but like, huh.
Fine, you're gonna have it literally next week. We're not waiting. You're gonna, we're done with this.
We're done. We're done.
I loved that backstage segment with them. That
with
was
R-Truth?
So hey, good.
Carmella, you've been dodging me.
I love that he plays all that so seriously. He believes it, and I believe him. Like, I love it. It's so good.
I'm coming for you, and that's what's up.
I love that there's the off-camera of Truth, put her down!
I love it. I love R-Truth so much.
I love it. It's great. If he never wrestles another match, that's fine with me, as long as he's still around. I kind of feel like I want the Fashion Files to wrestle, but I also, like, I want the Fashion Files to be around again.
Why did they cut that really popular show?
Because they're fucking idiots. I literally don't know. It's so stupid. It makes no sense. It was costing them, like, no money.
Fully be doing that, too, with his injury.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know what else I'm wearing? My Brie Bella bracelet! Ow!
You had a great week.
Oh my god. Honestly, top to bottom, did I write that episode of SmackDown?
Yes, 100%.
Everything that was happening, I was like, Randy Orton's on my screen, but he's getting beaten up real hard. And Jeff Hardy is just being a weirdo, which I'm always here for, even though he's continually doing swanton bonds, even though his back is, like, broken.
That man wants to die in the ring.
That
God bless, I guess.
Does want to die in the ring.
Absolutely. He's going to go the Terry Funk route. He's just going to keep doing shit until he can't anymore. But somehow, like Terry Funk, he will live to be like 97 years old and will still be wrestling.
Oh, Jeff. Anyways, Brie Bella and Nikki Bella show up backstage at SummerSlam. And
ta-da, here we are.
Brooklyn, not a fan of the Bellas.
Not surprised.
How dare. I was like, woo! Total Divas is the best! I'm so excited for that show to come back.
Me too.
Total Bellas is great. Ms. and Mrs. is really fun, but nothing is like Total Divas.
There's just so
not
many
a goddamn
people.
Thing is like Total Divas.
Sometimes they can be bad about only focusing on a couple of storylines in Total Divas, but there are so many and I like so many people on the show.
Also, I'm so hyped for Paige to be back.
Yes. I'm so happy to be watching her live her best life.
Paige, from the ashes, baby girl. Whew. But, so the Bellas come up and they're like, can you let me talk? And they delivered a terrible promo. But I was like, yay, Bellas!
Talk more
about your wine! And then on Monday night, so they watch Ronda and then they get in the ring and hold her hands up. And I was like, what if Ronda Rousey joined Total Divas? She was surrounded by three divas.
My eye just started to twitch. No, she's just going to be like a background character. That's fine. If Ronda Rousey just like pops up every once in a while at Total Divas, kind of in the way that like Emma
Summer
did.
Did.
Yeah,
Emma.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though Summer Rae did have one season where she slapped Natty in the face, which was great. Or Natty slapped her in the face, and then they slapped each other in the face. I should really go back and watch all of Total Divas.
Yeah, I should go back and watch the first couple seasons.
Yeah. You missed out on some gold.
That's true.
But then they get in the ring and hold their hands, and everyone's like, I made a tweet that was like, oh, but who is going to even take it off of Ronda? Like, she's just going to hold it forever. And everyone was like, Nikki Bella. And I was like, you know what? Best case scenario of Nikki Bella's the one to take it off of Ronda.
I totally agree.
That would be so funny.
I agree.
That would be, like, such a hilarious troll, LOLs, like.
Yeah. I, like.
To hand it from, like, one golden child to the other golden child.
Would be very, very funny.
And so funny.
And it's weird because, like. I feel like there's a part of me that's like, man, if this was the men, I'd be pissed. But you know what? They've done this with the men so many times that, you know, I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I dislike Ronda enough that I'm like, sure, I'll get on board with Nikki having it for a hot second.
Woo, Nikki!
That bitch's neck is still basically... How
that's
she,
scary, right?
That
like, I don't want to watch Ronda kill Nikki Bella.
Oh my god.
Mm-mm. That's the one thing that I'm like, maybe no.
The only thing she's good at is, like, what's basically her F5, and, like, arm drags and throws onto people's back. Like, you're going to break this bitch's neck. Like, I don't want to see that shit happen.
Then they show up on Raw, and they're part of the, like, surrounding the ring, and everyone's like, what the fuck are the Bellas doing out here?
I am so glad that I watched this belated, and people warned me about it. I feel like if I had watched it live, I would have been way, way more upset about it. But, like, knowing that it was coming, I was like, this is a farce.
So funny.
This is such a farce. I was watching it being
like, Aaron's gonna be mad. But then, on SmackDown opens with Miz and Maryse coming to the ring, and Miz and Maryse look so sad, and Miz is, like, channeling all of his, like, acting energy and, like, thinking about that $2,000 cake that, like, he's, like, thinking about all the sad tragedies in his life that, like, make him really sad that no one ate, and he's like, oh, no one took a slice, and he's, like, getting the tears in his eyes, and he's like, I'm retiring. So, like, we're the best! And then Daniel comes out and is like, you're a coward, this feud's gonna continue, and Maryse is like, bitch, nah, you don't talk to my husband like that, you know me? I came here, I had these brass knuckles, I'm a working mom, you don't get into my face, you don't get my family's face. And then Brie comes out and is like, I'm going to punch your husband in the mouth.
I loved it. As soon as Maryse started talking shit, I was like, oh my God. Brie mode! I just like felt it in my bones, like, oh shit, Brie Bella's coming right now.
Well, she had that backstage segment on SummerSlam where she was talking to Daniel.
That's why I was like, oh, this bitch is coming back. I'm into it. This is the perfect way to bring them back. You know what? Miz and Maryse exclusively should do mixed tags.
More Total Bella's bullshit?
Yes. Yes.
I hope so.
I love
also,
it.
Also, I hope this is the match that we didn't get, because a lot of people were really like, because their match at SummerSlam was just about the proposal.
LOL.
Which was exciting, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, like, everyone was excited to see Nikki and Maryse actually wrestle, but Nikki couldn't, really. Because her fucking neck. And Maryse was like, I'm fine, whatever. I don't really remember how to wrestle anyways. So it was, like, a nothing match that had an insane build-up and a good finale because they had the proposal. But, like, I'm hoping that we can get, like, an actual match.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And, like, John Cena and Miz have great chemistry and, like, have a also storied past. But, like, also, Daniel Bryan and The Miz are great at wrestling each other, so I'm excited to
see. Did you enjoy their match?
I did. I thought it was too long. It was
dragged a little bit.
It was the longest match of the night, and I felt it for sure. And, like, there wasn't anything that they did that was, like, bad. It was just, like, I'm glad Daniel Bryan can wrestle this long. That's nice. They, like...
And there was a lot of good character moments of, like, them stealing each other's moves and the, like... reversals and things, and then the, you know, Maryse's involvement, all that stuff. Like, you could have cut the first 5 to 8 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how long it was.
It was like 22 minutes long.
Yeah, you could have cut like 10 minutes on that.
Yeah, and again, not because it was like bad in any way, it's just like you could really feel that it was the longest match of the night.
Nick said that too. He was like, that one just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I like too that. I think part of it was that as soon as the match started, I was like, oh, this is not going to be a one-off. Like, obviously, this is going to have some kind of build. So I kind of anticipated something was going to happen. And so then
I wrote in my, like, cage side thing, because I had to cover this match, that I was like, this should definitely just be a clean finish and they should end this feud. LOL. Except for if you're going to bring Brie into it, you could fight forever!
Yeah, they have to build up to their rubber match at Mania. That's, like, that's the golden egg.
Brie Mo, she punched Miz right in the face.
It was great.
Brie did a great job.
She did a great job.
Except for that part where she was like, I got it. Like, I'm a punch again. And her, like, elbow was in front of her stomach and her, like, punching arm looked weird. The actual punch looked good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She just needs to be in motion. In motion is the important part.
Yeah, Brie is not great at just standing still.
Her promo that she cut during SummerSlam when they were backstage next to the brain chart, which I thought was very funny. Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah, it was like an anatomy of the brain poster that was right next to Daniel Bryan. Like, LOL, we have to check his brain every time he wrestles.
Hilarious.
But that promo that she cut was really good. Like, there have been times in the past where both of them, but I think especially Brie, have been really gun-shy on the mic. And, like, in those kind of backstage promos, it can feel very forced from them sometimes. And, like, it felt very comfortable. And it felt like she was, like, it did, like, now knowing that they're building up to this match, it's like, oh, okay, you're ready to get back into this. And that's what this is. Like, I like it.
I also like, I mean, I know that Nikki did this too. And I know that this is a trope, but, like, it's a trope I enjoy. I like when the girls come out to, like, fuck people up and they're like, I'm done with your talking. I'm coming here to save Daniel. punch?
I mean, Naomi did it with Jimmy? No, Jay. Jay is the...
Uso.
I think it's Jay.
Her Uso.
Yeah, her Uso. Correct. That's right. You know. Mr. Naomi.
Her Uso. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm very excited for that. And I also liked Miz and Paige's, like, backstage thing of their chemistry. I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have great chemistry. I love that
Paige has great chemistry with fucking everyone.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that they're, like, making her a big deal.
I love that. On Monday, they were like, Kurt, you're really bad at your job. And then on Tuesday, Paige was like, I'm great!
It was a special edition, and it felt like Paige had, like, put the show together. It was really nice. Honestly, really enjoyed it.
Paige just, like, went through my Twitter feed and was like, what show would make Stella happy? Even Gina was like, this show has a distinct make Stella happy feel.
Yeah.
Yes. Woo.
They've nailed their target demographic, it seems.
Me. It's going to suck when I start school because I'll be live tweeting on Raw and I'll be doing all the other stuff for the pay-per-views and I'll tweet during the day and whatever. And I'll be paying attention a little bit for SmackDown, but I'm going to be in school on Tuesdays, and I'm like, God.
Are you going to watch when you go home?
Yeah, I'm going to watch when I'm going to go home, and I'll still, like, know everything.
Well, the nice thing is that you'll be on Pacific time.
Oh, so I could live tweet for Pacific people?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point, actually. Mm-hmm. Our live tweet is now on Pacific. We're just trying to be, like, really, equality-based. Like, right. We'll do one
Monday
Eastern.
Is on Eastern. Hilarious. Tuesday's on. You should check your schedule and see if you can make that work.
But I'm upset because SmackDown is the better show.
I agree. It sucks that, like, Tuesday is just such a more inconvenient day really to is. Stay home.
It's actually going to be great for it to move to Friday to me.
Yeah, I don't want to go out on Friday. I'm fucking old. Like,
right. I want to go out on Saturday if I'm going out. I want to stay home on Friday.
Yeah, 100%. I worked all day on Friday. Why would I go out?
Precisely. Also, I mean, 205 Live, they had a tornado tag match afterwards on... It was so fucking good.
Awesome.
It wasn't, like, next level good. Like, Tuesday shows are really good. It's just on a weird day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, fucking SmackDown room. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, we're not going to do a normal episode. We're just going to talk about SummerSlam and TakeOver because... Yeah.
We've already been talking for some time.
So, we're just going to kind of go through the card.
Yep.
Impact was fine this week. Austin Aries gave a good promo. The smoke show was fucking weird. Tessa and Allie and... Soo Young had a good interaction, and Kira, and the Bridesmaids. That was a really good segment. LAX had a weird in-the-street fight. Whatever. Over it. Over that. Impact was fine. I think next week will be really good, though, because it's... Or tomorrow, whatever. Who cares? Is the Sami Callihan versus Pentagon in the Mexican Death Match.
Ooh, all right.
Phoenix and Ovi cannot come to the ring. But will happen. There was a really hilarious segment with Eddie Edwards where Eddie interrupted Austin Aries and Killer Kross, and then he got taken out by them, and then he was, like, backstage pacing, and he was, like, talking to himself but also talking to Austin Aries, and was like, I'm gonna mess you up, Austin Aries. You think, oh, I could, and he was just, like, kind of going nuts, and then Alicia came and was like, hey, are you okay? And Eddie goes, yeah, I'm great. We're great. Everything's great. We're great. And she goes, we're not great. I'm just making sure that you're okay. And he goes, no, I'm great. You're great. Everything's great. We're all great. And she was like, you're crazy. And he goes, I'm not crazy. What's everybody say I'm crazy? And then he, like, hits himself with, like, kendo stick. And then it's like, ah! It was just, like, great acting from Eddie Edwards.
Oh,
again,
I love it.
Just, like, whatever. I blindsided every time he does anything because I'm like, oh, yeah, he's fucking great now. I don't understand.
I love it.
Also,
People
can get great. So, obviously you didn't see this because I was there, so I watched the NXT show that was happening before. So it's playing tonight, but it was, like, the pre-show or whatever. I think there were only two matches. I only remember two matches. So let's pretend that. The first one was Deonna Purrazzo versus Bianca Belair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Deonna's new ring gear, her WWE ring gear, is great.
Awesome.
Here's the thing with Deonna. I've seen her wrestle live many, many times. I can acknowledge that she's a really good wrestler. I've always been really bored by her. She was great.
Awesome.
She had, like, personality and character, and her and Bianca have really good in-ring chemistry. They put on a really good match.
Cool.
Bianca had this, like, all pink gear on. She looked fucking dope.
What?
It was a really good match.
Cool. Super cool.
Of two people who, like, I think in a couple months, like, they will be probably in a feud for the NXT women's title. Like, they have to be, like, the future of that division. Like,
fantastic.
So great.
That's so good.
Bianca won, which I was really happy with because I was like, she should win. She's the established NXT person.
Right.
Like, Deanna's just coming in, even though she's got a big name.
And we've said a lot in the past that it's nice when people come into NXT and they're not just expected to win immediately. Right. I feel like it gives legitimacy to a character, especially when they're not trying to build them as, like, a Shayna or an Asuka. Like, if you're not immediately doing unstoppable force, like, it is better to just be like, all right, we're done with this loss immediately.
There are a bunch of dummies around me who kept doing the Marty Scurll whoop whoop, and I wanted to be like,
oh God, don't.
Don't do that. And then the other match, which is playing tonight, was Pete Dunne and Zach Gibson for the UK belt. It was a phenomenal fucking match. It was awesome. So good. I mean, it's everything that you expect from those guys, right? Like, mm-hmm. So good. Here's the story I want to tell, though. So for NXT TakeOver, I was sitting in front of these two fucking, like, good old boys.
Oh, no.
And they kept talking about Jim Cornette and old wrestling, and they kept making references to old stuff, and then, like, telling the people in the ring, like, what they should be doing. Talked about how Deanna Purrazzo has never looked hotter because she got those caterpillars waxed off her head. Whatever. The singular dumbest thing they said the whole night. There's a moment in the Pete Dunne-Zach Gibson match where Zach Gibson, like, hits Pete Dunne really fast and hard in the throat, and Pete Dunne gets down and is like, oh, choking because he just got punched or slapped in the throat. I don't remember what else Zach Gibson does, but he doesn't do that again. He, like, I think he's standing there and, like, reveling in mm-hmm. the thing that he did, and then there's a reversal or something, whatever. The guys behind me are like, oh, come on, man. You just do that again. You heard the crowd boo for you. Like, that's a heel move. Why wouldn't you just do it again? Zach Gibson, when his music hit, the entire arena was booing and taking their shoes off and was, this, Zach Gibson has heel heat. He hit him in the throat, people booed. Zach Gibson does not need these two fucking idiots from wherever the fuck they're from. I know they're not from Kentucky because they were shit-talking Kentucky for some fucking reason.
Maybe they are from Kentucky.
Telling you how to be a heel. He's one of the fucking best heels in the biz. Oh, I don't care what Jim Cornette's opinion is. You shouldn't either. Shut up. And Nick could feel me, like, tense. I, like, leaned forward most of the time because I was next to, like, another guy who was bigger. So between him and Nick was also next to a guy who was bigger. So me and Nick were kind of, like, smooshed in a little bit, which is fine. Like, I understand. So I leaned forward a little bit to give Nick some room and also so I could try and be out of earshot of these guys. But he could feel me, and he was like, just relax. And I was like, I'm not going to pick a fight with these two dudes. Like, I'm not stupid. They're not like a drunk Logan Square person that I can fight with. I pick my battles, but man, they said some mess up stuff. But that was the singular most stupid thing I've ever heard. Oh, come on. That's how you're just not generating enough heel heat. The whole crowd booed him.
Every moment needs to be constant heel heat, Stella.
So stupid. It's a really excellent match. I feel like a lot of times the NXT after takeovers feel, like, very skippable.
Yeah, they feel like throwaway matches.
But the two matches on this particular one, I feel like, were really good. Let's talk about TakeOver!
All right.
What a great length of a show. All shows should be this long.
I agree.
Why do they keep opening with those tag matches? They're the best matches of the night.
I don't know.
It's kind of brilliant because you get the crowd fucking hyped.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's true.
Crazy hyped. That match was so good.
And, you know, it's funny because I feel like, all right, so with the last two matches, it's been Undisputed Era versus Oni and
Danny Burch.
Yes. I don't feel any kind of way about them, but a lot of people do.
Their matches were excellent.
And they were excellent. So this happens, so that was the last one, and then this was against Mustache Mountain against them. A guy who I follow who runs Party City Wrestling, he also is a healthcare advocate, his name's Tim Faust, he only watches WWE every once in a while, and he was tweeting about how he was like, I really like Undisputed Era because I've watched them do two takeover matches in a row against teams I'd never heard of, ever, and don't care about at all, and they made me care about them. And part of that, like, kind of blew my mind, like, whoa, you don't know who Mustache Mountain was? And I was like, whoa, check my indie privilege.
Also, like, we didn't know who they were, like, not too long ago.
I know, and so it was, like, it was weird
check
to be, like,
check my indie privilege. Right? Don't title shame me.
So funny. So good. It was so good. I loved that moment.
Anyways, check your indie privilege.
Checking my indie privilege. But it was, like, nice to see that, like, I agree. I think the Undisputed Era really, like, It's funny because when I watch Mashers, I'm like, they're not my favorite parts of it, but that's how it's supposed to be. Like, they're really good heels.
Oh, and
like,
I love fucking Kyle O'Reilly.
He's always so funny.
I really did
come around on him.
Always enjoy watching him at ROH, but I was never like really like, I was always like, he just has that face that I want to punch.
I've felt that way since he was fucking in New Japan.
Like, but he was
I just
the face
punch him in his face
in ROH when I was watching. He's so good as a heel because he's got that face.
Yeah.
And with the like air guitar,
tuned the belt beforehand, ridiculous.
And also that thing that he does where he like waits on the ground to like snap, like entrap them like a Venus flytrap. Like, he's so good, so good.
Some of the physical comedy, which
he is like,
I love it.
Yes, he is a perfect mix of comedy wrestling and just like next level incredible wrestling.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
Some of the moves Strong Boy Tyler Bate pulled out were bananas. They were nuts. Also, the guys behind me said, "Oh, usually the guys behind me who are big old fat dudes." Again, whatever. Behind me said, "You know, normally I wouldn't like a guy like." Talking about Trent Seven. Normally, like, I would say that guy should not be in wrestling gear like that, but he's so good that I don't even care. And I was like, fucking goddamn it. Are you fat shaming Trent Seven right now?
Trent Seven's hot as fuck.
Fuck you. He's hot as hell. And also, what the fuck do you know? They kept making New Japan jokes too. They thought they were real fucking cool.
RH bros. That's what they sound like.
They kept talking about Sonata, and I was like, why, guys?
Because he's hot, and they want to fuck him, and they can't.
I mean, same, but like...
Right? Exactly. Everyone feels that way. Some people just feel affronted by the fact that they want to fuck a dude. I don't know. I don't know what that's like.
Tyler Bate, though. It's like not mind-numbing to thinking about how like young he is. I told Nick, and he was like, what? And I was like, his finisher is the year he was born, bro. 1997. We're like 21.
Yuck.
But also, yum.
Yeah.
It's incredible how young he is and how good he is. Mm-hmm. And innovative, too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
God, this match was so good. And Roddy looked good. Everyone fucking looked good. The four wrestlers in that ring are all phenomenal at wrestling, but are also good at maintaining their characters and their characterizations within the wrestling, which a lot of people lose, and I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
God, I was like, leaning forward, like, out of my seat. Like, I felt like I was going to die in this match. There are so many near falls. I, like, my heart was just, like, racing the whole time. And I was just fucking sitting down.
It was so good.
Ugh, it was so good. The next match was Velveteen Dream versus EC3. I, like, stood up like a fucking mark for EC3. And everyone looked at me and I was like, yes! Woo! EC3! And then I was like, man, I miss your own theme song. I love you so much. This match was a little disappointing. It was still good.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed it. There were things I really liked about it.
I mean, EC3 has never been, like, a technically one... It's not that he's bad at wrestling. It's not like you watch his matches because you're like, fuck yeah, EC3, the wrestler. We love him. Oh, he's so innovative. Like, he's a very old school, traditional wrestler, very much like Bobby Roode. Mm-hmm. And the reason you like him is because of his promos and his entrance and his whole shebang. Like, and his look. Like, he looks like a wrestler.
That's a package, yeah.
Right. Not a bad wrestler. He's just not, like, the most innovative thing. But from when I was watching it and the angles... Dream looked really off.
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, maybe that's what it is. There was something about this match that, like, didn't totally work for me. And I thought maybe it was just that I'm, like, so unused to seeing EC3 in NXT still that might have been why I felt a little disconnected from it. But maybe that's what it is. I fucking love Dream's gear, but I feel like maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I honestly feel like...
Because apparently he got, like... fucking nuclear heat for wearing that. So, I don't know what the deal is.
Somebody said something before, because honestly, the moment the match starts, I was like, I said to Nick, I was like, Dream feels off. He feels like...
Someone must have said something to him.
He felt really off to me. Hmm. I mean, he also, like, shattered EC3's face. Like, we don't know what actually happened. As soon as it hit, I was like, he fucked his face up. And then I was, like, texting with the Cage Day people, and they were like, well, we didn't see anything. I don't know. And I was like... Yeah, I saw the angle. Like, something somewhere happened. I can see his face swelling up already.
I think it was when...
I don't think it was the driver. I really think it was the elbow.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it was the shot where he threw him into the stairs.
Really?
Yeah, because he took it at like, kind of a...
But it looks like... It's just right on the eye. It looks like right where an elbow would hit.
Maybe. Well, he also has that... He got, like, a cut along his forehead.
I'm talking about the, like, eye socket.
Oh, I was talking about the forehead cut.
No. Yeah. Have you seen his eye? Have you seen a picture of him?
I saw how it was swelled up afterwards.
Ugh, gross. EC3, he has a good sense of humor about it, though. You should look at his Instagram. He's making like a lot of funny photos.
It's like when John Cena got his nose smeared across his face. Awesome.
But yeah, I don't know. For me, because I know what to expect from EC3's wrestling, so it's not like I was imagining like a Ricochet match. But for me, Dream felt really off.
Yeah, I wonder if it had to do with the heat that he got from his gear.
Like, there were angles where it looked like he was wrestling a comedy match for me.
Interesting.
I was surprised. He was, like, throwing himself around, like, dramatically and stuff.
When we got to the end of it, I was surprised that he won. I thought that he was going to wind up losing. Right. I don't know. We'll just see where it goes from here. I wonder what... It's weird, too, because at first I was like, yeah, fucking call him up. He's very good. I'm really into this. But you know what? I don't think he would do very well on the main roster. I don't think he would
at all. It's a weird request. You gotta know that your gimmick is... It's a Prince Pretty gimmick, essentially. Like, it's great. Yeah. And it's better than the Prince Pretty gimmick.
Right.
But that's how they're going to see it on the main roster.
Right, exactly. Vince does not understand how to book this. It's racist.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a weird call. It was not my favorite match. It wasn't bad by any means.
Yeah, there was just something about it that was off.
It was just off.
Yeah.
Ricochet versus Adam Cole for the North American Championship.
This was fun as fuck.
When he kicked Ricochet's face out of the air, that was insane.
That was insane.
That is like, you have to bullseye that. That was because he got him,
yeah.
You watch the slow-mo of it? Mm-hmm. I was like, ah! In the ring. Or in the arena.
It was excellent. I really enjoyed it. I
really didn't think Ricochet was going to win.
It was the only spoiler I had because I was watching it on kind of a delay. No. And so I opened my Twitter and the first thing I saw was Ricochet holding the belt. I was like, oh, gotta close my Twitter now. I forgotten what time it was and was like,
No, that's okay. I got it spoiled when Aleister Black won. Because Helena showed me a picture and I was like, you know he has the belt in that photo, right? I'm excited for Ricochet. We'll see what he does with it.
He does anything with it.
Yeah.
I like Adam Cole a lot, and I like Undisputed Era, but, also, this was his first title defense?
No, he had one against Oney Lorcan.
Second title defense? That's not enough.
Oney's only had it for one takeover. The length of a takeover. He got it at the last takeover.
He didn't get it at the last takeover.
Didn't he?
Last takeover was Chicago. No.
That was in the ladder match?
No. Ugh. We watched that on a couch.
Bitch, I don't remember. It's too much. We watched so much. How does anybody remember? How are people you're right. How are people you remember in from WrestleMania 10? How do you guys remember anything? How do we remember anything?
Yeah, I can barely remember what we watched. Well, I watched 2 hours before you got here.
1 through 6 of the WrestleManias, and I cannot tell you anything about it.
We ranked tell you them that. At the end, and I'm like, I don't remember what this one was.
Big fan of Ricky Steamboat. That's about all I got.
He's the best.
Ricky Dreamboat. This match was bananas. There were so many spots.
Yeah, it was great. They're both great wrestlers.
Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler.
This was a really good match.
This is another one that I was like, because there were so many, near falls. I expected what I expected from Ricochet and Adam Cole, because they were both, tiny and flippy and, Adam Cole's not flippy, but, they're both, but they are. They're both little, and they're both fast, and they're one of them is flippy, and one of them, super kicks out of nowhere. I've seen a lot of their matches. I knew what to expect.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I didn't know what the fuck to expect from Kairi and Shayna, because Shayna is different each time she wrestles,
And their styles are very different.
And, we've seen them wrestle before, but honestly, Shayna is better each time she wrestles.
Absolutely. And she's not the same wrestler that she was at the Mae Young. No. It just is not.
And honestly, I haven't seen Kairi really wrestle a match of consequence in a while. Mm-hmm. This match was great. And how quickly the ending came, not quickly, in terms of, the match ended so short, oh my god, I wish it was longer, that's not what I mean, but, we've had two matches, the Undisputed Era and Ricochet Adam Cole, where there were so many near falls, and this one was kind of doing the same, but then one of those ones was boom, done.
Yeah.
And it was what? What just happened? And that was an exciting feeling.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed this. And I felt like it was the first time that we'd been able to see Kairi let go and really wrestle basically since the Mae Young. I feel like she has had a whole year of you get 5-minute matches and you have to fit these 6 moves in and that's it. And that's all you can do, which I think that they've realized that they're losing who should be her audience. Right. And so I felt like this was a really, really great match to show that both of them are really strong wrestlers.
Shayna really fucking impressed me in this match. Yes. And it's also a good look to have her have the NXT Championship going into the Mae Young. It's just like a good look.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I really fucking love this match. Like, I think the first match will be the best match, if honestly, like, the tag match was incredible. And Ricochet and Adam Cole had, like, really good spots. But, like, emotionally, like, and storyline-wise, like, the Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler one was, like, it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hilarious to say, like, storyline-wise, because the next one is Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. And this was really, really good. But, I mean, a bunch of people are talking in, like, line and stuff, like, how are they going to top themselves? Well, they're not. They didn't.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't bad, but they also anticipated that there were going to be three people, and then there weren't. And then they had to, like, try and do this thing with Tommaso and Johnny. And, like, I think it was fine, and I think it was good. And I know a lot of people didn't like the ending, but I thought Johnny was going to win. I
really liked it.
I really did, like, storyline-wise. But I liked how Ciampa just slipped to standing. Like, that was great.
It felt so appropriate, and, like, I really liked it.
I don't know why Johnny would have done the same thing character-wise that he did last time that cost him the win. Like, that didn't make sense to me, and I didn't really understand why Johnny didn't win. But the actual, like, physical ending and how it ended, I thought was cool.
Well, I feel like part of it is that Johnny is being driven to madness by his obsession. And to, like,
madness.
And, like, that is madness, is doing the same thing.
Yeah, but, like, Eddie Edwards is doing it better.
Well, yeah, but it's not the same kind of madness.
But it kind of is. Because the way that Sammy, like, antagonized Eddie, and, like, the only thing that's different is that they weren't besties before. But, like, it was actually, it is actually a very similar storyline. Okay. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why, like, the drama and the, like, sparkle and sheen has shined, like, is not there for me with this anymore. It's because, like, I don't know.
You're seeing it done elsewhere.
Eddie, not that the feud was better. The feud has different tones. But, like, what Eddie and Johnny are doing specifically is the same. And Eddie is doing it so much better that I'm just, like, not buying Johnny.
Yeah, there's something about this feud that, like,
Tommaso is next level good.
I'm cheering for Tommaso. That's the thing, is I don't think I'm supposed to be, but I definitely am. But part of that is, like, I love him.
Right, but he's doing
a better job.
And Johnny's not coming up to his level, I guess.
I don't know.
Maybe character-wise or whatever.
I started weeping when Tommaso was like, I'm sorry.
Why? And
started
doing,
I don't know.
It was so emotional. Like, you cried too much.
It was like when we were at his retirement match at AEW.
Well, that one made sense. I cried too.
Because there's something about him that I, like, really like and I really connect to. And I don't know. I feel like he gives such an honest performance, and, like, he understands what the audience feels in a way that I really, really like. And so then to watch him, like, Johnny has now done this crawl and this, like, desperate plea, what, like, three different times. And so now to see Tommaso do it and to feel like it's honest in that moment of,
yeah,
like,
he flips it on like a psychopath.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, I'm chained to this thing and there's nothing I can do, and all I can do is apologize. There's, and it just felt so real. And then he, like, falls off the stage and just starts laughing, like, oh, it was so good. Oh, I love it. And I love, too, that, like, immediately after this match was out over, Triple H, like, totally sold him out on the conference call, and was like, he's the nicest man. He was the first person to ice Tegan Knox's knee after she got hurt during the Mae Young. Like, it's like, okay, well, yes, I'm glad, and I'm really glad that I know this, but also, like, why would you say that immediately after this?
So
weird.
All right. Cool for the summer.
You know that's not the song.
Yeah, well, the Florida song blows. It's just good vibrations.
Yeah, it
is. With some, like, random raps.
Absolutely. The only section that they play is the good vibrations part. And then lollipops.
Cool for the summer. Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega versus Lana and Rusev. Lana and Rusev lost.
I was a little surprised by that.
But it makes sense. Having watched SmackDown, mm-hmm. where Aiden English helps.
Aiden English is my appreciate this week. For some reason, he came out and I was like, man, he looks hot as fuck. Like, I don't know what. His hair is, like, at the perfect level and his beard looks good. I was like, ooh, you're hot as hell. And you did a good job. Appreciate.
I don't even think about my appreciate. I'll have to think about it. Oh, Drew Gulak. Yes. For sure. I know he feel like he pops up a lot, but like when he came out for the next match, so Cedric versus Drew for the Cruiserweight Championship, I was like, what?
I have been saying. What?
I was like, you look real good right now.
I've been saying this.
I was so sad that he lost.
Me too. I really was too. I hope this isn't the end of their feud.
It's not the end of the feud because on 205 Live, he asked for a rematch. Okay. And Drake, Big Daddy Drake Maverick is what Drew Gulak called him.
Drew Gulak is extremely online, and I appreciate that.
But he was like, Drake Maverick was like, no, you don't deserve a rematch. Like, you lost. Sorry, bro. And then there was supposed to be a match between Tozawa and some jobber, and him, Jack Gallagher, and Brian Kendrick came out and took them both out, and then they stood in the ring, and they basically were like, I hope you don't expect, like, a nice 205 Live if you don't give me what I want. Yes. So it's not over.
Yes.
But I was really sad that he lost. I like Cedric Alexander a lot, but I'm just, like, bored.
Yeah. He feels like the same way I felt about Aleister Black. I'm like, why are we doing... Like, I get it. It took him a very long time to become champion.
For sure.
And it felt shitty that he wasn't champ. And now we're at the point where I'm like, but this doesn't feel exciting at all.
It doesn't. And 205 Live needs to feel exciting.
Yeah. I feel like they burned out on this... on his feud with Ali, and it just, I don't know, it's weird. I love Cedric, and I'm already like, all right, let's do something different here.
B team, go, hard all day, all night. Get it? You like how I did that?
I did, that was nice. You improv. Mixed that together very well.
I did not think of that before.
I'm proud of you.
I just improvised that.
I'm so proud.
So, the B team won at SummerSlam.
I was very surprised by that.
I was very surprised. But then on Monday Night Raw, in singles competition, the Revival beat them both.
Yeah. I don't get it.
It's confusing.
It's so weird. And especially because the Revival's whole thing is that they're, like, the best tag team and that everyone else is just these, like, thrown together schmucks, which is actually true of the B team. And yet somehow, I kind of love that they keep winning on accident as a team. And I feel like maybe that's what it is. They just have this energy that they glue it together.
The singles matches were to be, like, you don't win on accident in the singles matches type thing. Is that an action figure of William Regal? It's so amazing. I've never seen that.
Yeah, I bought it for Michael a couple years ago.
It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think maybe that was supposed to be the point of the singles matches. I don't know, though.
I mean, I guess part of it is that they want the Revival to still look strong, and so this is a way to do that without giving them the title. But, like, why?
But why?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either, bro.
I mean, I love the B team. I think they're great. And I love telling...
Go, go, go.
I loved watching them be like, Miz, go fuck yourself. Like, no.
The B stands for Brian.
I love that. I thought that that was excellent. They're like, we're fully faces now. Just so everyone knows, fully faces, totally faces, baby faces.
B stands for baby face. Seth Rollins with Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre for the Intercontinental Championship. This was the first match of the night. It was a good way to start off
this
show.
This was a great way to
start.
The
IC title is a good way to start.
Yeah, I would totally agree with
it
that.
It really, like...
There have been so many good IC title openers.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. This match was great.
Super great.
Got a real hard on for Dean versus Drew, though.
I was like, man.
Oh, my God.
Watching them just, like, pace around each other on the ring, I was like... Good.
I was like, I'm not even paying attention to this man.
I wasn't either a couple of times. I was just like, oh, God. These twinks are fighting while their, like, leather daddies are, like, feuding on the outside, and I'm way more interested in that.
I loved it.
Man.
And Seth Rollins won!
Yes, I'm
glad. Everyone expected Dean to turn, but he didn't.
He did not. And now we know why, because the Shield is a thing. I don't care about the Shield.
This was a dope way to do it, though, because, like, okay, so let's just skip to the end. So,
okay,
Brock and Roman have a match. Braun Strowman comes out. It's like, I'm gonna cash in on whoever wins, just so you know, because I blah 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 blah. Roman wins. Everyone is excited because they are like, Braun's gonna cash in, except for Braun is outside on the ring because he was taken out by Brock. And then the show ended. Everyone was like, are we excited for Roman? We don't know. There's so many confused cheer boos. And honestly, again, was in the audience. You can tell me they muted the mics, whatever. I was in the audience. There were 100% more boos for Brock than Roman.
That's not surprising. Brooklyn absolutely feels like the kind of crowd that would boo Brock more than him. Yeah. Like,
And
fuck Roman in many ways, but like,
Roman's totally first promo on Raw was great. His extension of a Universal title match to Finn was great.
That was great.
That match was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then the...
It also felt like Finn will get another match.
It does.
Like...
Because Braun did interrupt. You know, right. He lost, but he got distracted, blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly. So it feels like that still is kind of like on ice and is a thing that they can use later.
But then to be
and
like...
And they had a fucking great match also.
Well, also if they want Roman to have this belt, which like, I don't want Braun to have the belt. I'm going to be honest. I liked him a lot before the Money in the Bank, and him having the briefcase has made me start to fucking hate Braun Strowman. I gotta be honest. He shouldn't have won it. Like... It's stupid. It's not a threat. Oh, I'm gonna cash in, but I'm gonna tell you to cash in. That's not how this briefcase works. Fuck you. That's not how this works. That's dumb. I don't want him as the Universal Champion. That seems boring as hell to me.
Also, I kind of like the idea that it's now you don't just always win. I kind of like that if he loses this, he and Baron Corbin, the last two people to hold it, lost. And I feel like that's important because it feels like an inevitability that whoever wins the Money in the Bank is going to win the championship. And part of the Money in the Bank should be, and I like we've said this so many times, that it should take someone who has the potential to be elevated and test them. And sometimes you give them this shit and you should be able to realize, like, now's not the right time. And you shouldn't have to just, like, oh, shit, well, because he has it, we have to do it even though we don't want to commit to it. Like, I feel like it should be more of a variable. And if Braun's thing is that he's going to try to announce it every time and then he's going to lose because he made this mistake, like, I like that. I like that it gives the briefcase a little more character.
Yeah, I kind of love Roman as the Universal Champion. And I just Hounds of Justice being there. And I didn't give a shit about S.H.I.E.L.D. before, and I didn't care about the reunion against The Miz or whatever, but, like, this is kind of dope.
I like that Dean looks fucking hot as shit in that compression vest.
Dope.
Woohoo!
He wasn't wearing a compression vest. He was wearing, like, a tight-ass tank top. Seth was wearing the vest.
No, I mean, like, a sleeve. If he had, like, a compression, like, workout. Like, body sleeve.
Whatever. I'm just saying, Roman has been for the, like, 48 hours he's been a champ, he's been a good champ.
I'm glad he's here. Yeah. And it was funny because...
Immediately better than...
Absolutely. And, like, it was nice to watch Paul Heyman come in and be like, we demand this thing. And Kurt was like, go fuck yourself. Like, it felt so satisfying to be like, you'll get it when you get it. Like, I don't want to do this right now. And I appreciate that. Because you know what? I don't give a shit about Brock. Like, I'm so over it. And they told this story very well of, fuck Brock. He's a paper champ. He never does shit. And then he loses. Like, great. That should be the end of that. Like... Let him go. Let people miss him.
Let him go. Bye, baby shark.
Like, let us miss him because he's just gone and not because he's holding the title hostage. Like, maybe if he comes back in 2 years after he's done with the UFC, people will be excited again. But right now, it's like, bitch, get out of here. I never need to see your ham body ever again.
So, yeah, if you think about the IC title match and the main event and what happened on Raw, it all kind of makes, like, brilliant sense.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It'll be interesting to see what goes on with Dolph and Drew. Drew had a match with, Dean had a match with Dolph, which is a little disappointing, but I was like, are we saving Dean versus Drew for something important?
Good. No.
Give it to me. Give it to me. The New Day, Biggie and Xavier Woods versus the Bludgeon Brothers. The Bludgeon Brothers won. Well, they lost, but they retained their belts by disqualification.
Yeah.
But then the next night on SmackDown, or the next two nights, whatever, on SmackDown, the New Day fucking won!
They're five-time champs now.
I mean, this match was still almost 10 minutes. Like, I don't really understand. They were like, there's too many belt switches, and we gotta make SmackDown exciting. I mean, it was exciting. It was so exciting. It was such a good way to end SmackDown, and you get that funny moment with Big E being like, oh, my ribs and these ribs and but my other ribs. And, like, it was nice to see the team up of Xavier and Kofi and the, like, kick out after the, like, ladder spot was so exciting. And the SmackDown match was really good. The SummerSlam match was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
But the SmackDown match was really good. And Big E's excitement of him being like, I can say five. Do you know how long I've been waiting to say five?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I like, too, that for SummerSlam it was... Big E, who everyone kind of expects to be in these big matches. But then it was Xavier who won, really. Yeah. Like, he was the reason that New Day won in...
And he was in both of those matches.
And also, like, Big E was not out there at all, which everyone kind of expected that he was going to show up in some capacity to help them because it was not disqualification. But he didn't, and he didn't have to because Xavier and Kofi are a perfectly strong team, just the two of them.
It was good.
And so I'm really glad that they established that the two of them can be a strong team, because maybe that means that Big E can do singles stuff too.
Would be great. Like,
they set this up super well, and I really enjoyed it. It does feel a little weird, and it's...
But, like, to have the disqualification to set up for the non-disqualification, you don't want all the titles to switch. Like, fine, it's fine.
It makes sense. Like, isolated on SummerSlam, it felt like a weird decision. Eric Rowan
is apparently injured again. His arm.
I don't understand. What? Who was he fucking? Like, that's what it feels like to me. And I know a lot of... That's, like, absolutely
he's just, like, a good dude, and they like him around. And he, like, fills the niche of, like, big fucking guy. And, like, I don't know.
And it's obviously a joke. I don't actually think that he's doing that. But it's like,
a weird thing, because I never want to wish for someone who doesn't deserve it to be fired. But it does feel like... I don't
understand why he's there.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not a bad wrestler. He's not a great wrestler. But it's weird, too, that Luke Harper has talked in interviews while he was the champion with him in this recent run. Like, yeah, I never wanted to be a tag champion. I've always wanted to do a singles run. Maybe someday they'll let me do that, but it kind of seems like I'm tied to Eric. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, he's just, like, so open about it. And I'm like, do you want to get fired? Because maybe you should get fired. Because why are you tied, like, a fucking lead brick to this dude? Like, it just does not make any sense to me.
Where did he say that?
He gave some interview recently where he was talking about the origins of him and Eric as a team and how he was like, well, you know, I never really wanted to be paired with him, but... That was what they want from me, and that's what I'm going to do. And it was weird. I was reading through it, and everyone was like, this is a great interview. And I was like, this feels strange.
Yeah, that feels fucked up.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. I don't know. And, like, fucking Harper's in great fucking shape. Like, he's such a good wrestler. I wish that he, like, let him fight fucking Drew. Like, they would have a great match together, because they can actually, like, fucking throw each other around in a way no one else can.
Yeah. Braun Strowman squashed Kevin Owens.
Why did this match happen?
Fuck this match.
This was fucking stupid. I was mad.
Braun looks strong anyways. They didn't tease.
There's no reason to do this.
There's a stipulation. Like, they didn't even tease Kevin almost having a DQ. They just fucking squashed him. And Kevin Owens was the best Universal Champion they ever had. Kevin Owens has done so much for that company. He works so hard. He just
signed a new 5-year deal,
He's
too.
He's so good. Fuck that.
And this is, like, I want the Money in the Bank to be
it
different.
It should have been him.
It would have been so much more interesting to have it be him. Even if he lost, just to have him win it would have been so exciting. Like, ugh. I feel like they almost exactly in the same way that we talked about Becky, because we literally referenced him when we were talking about Becky. But, like,
I think part of the reason I hate Braun is because I love Kevin so much.
Yeah.
And this story has done nothing for Kevin. And even when Kevin was being really good in this story, he just got fucked so hard. And I, like, am pissed
about
it. I kind of blame Braun Strowman.
But it really is that WWE seems to fundamentally misunderstand what people love about him. And it feels like being, like, absolutely stretched to our limits with him. And it's absolutely not his fault. And also, where the fuck is he? Is he just destroyed now? And, like, he's been beat up so much by Braun Strowman. Like, does he get a vacation? I hope that that's what's happening. And he's not just, like, sitting backstage. That's the only time that's okay. Let him go on vacation with his family.
Well, a bunch of people were speculating, like, was he hurt? Did they have to rewrite this match? Like,
I think they ran out of time.
But nothing. But, like, you couldn't even do... It was a minute and 50 seconds long. You couldn't give it 2 more minutes. You absolutely could have given it 2 more minutes to, like, tease him, like, trying to do a disqualification. Do through this whole thing of getting the stipulation and weeks of his humiliation. Like, I'm so pissed about it.
Yeah.
I thought SummerSlam was great pretty much overall, but, like, fuck this match.
This match sucked. It seemed absolutely pointless.
We already talked about Charlotte and Becky and Carmella. Full disclosure, I did not watch the Elias segment because I had to pee sometime, and that was my pee match. Or pee segment. What happened in the segment?
He accidentally broke his guitar, which I only know because Michael told me, because I was not looking up at the screen
Wait,
when
he
it happened.
Honestly accidentally broke it? And then they had, like,
no,
cut
it was purely gimmicked. Oh, okay. That's why I feel like they cut down the Kevin and Braun match, because this also felt like a segment that they cut because they needed to cut for time. So it was like, I'm going to do this concert, and then immediately his guitar broke. It was like, oh, I see. You just don't have time for this anymore. And so that's kind of why it felt like...
Maybe instead of building up everything and making us feel excited for something, just, like, don't book the match for this.
Yeah. Although then we're like upset that people aren't on the card too.
Yeah, but I'm like I'm not upset that some of the people are on the card. Not everybody can be in every card. I'm really not like. There are a lot of big names that were left off this card, but like fucking that's the word. That's what happens. Like, but a lot of them were featured on the SmackDown and Monday Night Raw afterwards. Like,
yeah, that's true.
That's the way of the world. If you're gonna do a superstar where every Raw and SmackDown who have two distinct rosters. Are gonna be
there's too many of them for that.
There's too many. So like
we already complained that it's 4 hours long. Like,
right. It's fine.
So much they can do.
Like Impact Wrestling because they have to, but like they do a good job of making some of their episodes special episodes. Like this episode is gonna be redefined or whatever. This episode's gonna be Feast or Fire. It's like a mini pay per view, not a pay per view, but like an important
NXT
match.
Used to do that.
Well, but like think about when they did that hour long match with Seth Rollins, like. That was really exciting, and that was just on a Monday Night Raw. Like, they can do more specialty exhibition stuff, and they should take advantage of that and not just make everything about pay-per-views. Especially since they don't get the money from the pay-per-views anymore. It's a different thing.
Yeah, the money is all about
the ratings.
So
you should make Raw, some Raws, like, exciting. I don't know. I just think it's fucking dumb. Samoa Joe defeated AJ Styles by disqualification, but AJ Styles remains the champion.
I mean.
Got bled, Danny.
Yeah. We haven't discussed this before we went on air, so we've, like, talked about
it. I didn't hear
bit.
Her say that because I was in the crowd.
I didn't notice it until people pointed it
so
out.
So, really,
to
it just looked like she was, like, fucking scared of him. Like, don't touch me.
Yeah. It looked to me like she was, like, grossed out and, like, I don't want
Samoa Joe and AJ Styles have great chemistry.
Yeah.
This match is not as good as everybody says it was.
Yeah,
but like,
I also
pay off,
tuned
I understand.
Out.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind Joe talking about, like, Wendy and, like, the family, because obviously she's okay with that.
Yeah,
like,
she
showed up, like, whatever.
It.
And it's good, like, whatever he wants to call, do the, like, daddy card, fine. It, like, is good at making it's good at giving AJ Styles something else to do but remain a babyface. That is good. And Joe is supreme at, like, heel work. I do not love, I didn't love that his daughter was there. That felt weird to me.
Yeah.
It feels weird when Shane McMahon's kids are there. It felt weird when Goldberg's kids were there. I mean, it doesn't, like, right now, because Birdie and Monroe are so young, and they're on, like, Instagram and stuff, like, it doesn't feel, like, totally weird yet. But I feel like it will get to a point where it's like, God, these kids shouldn't be used like this.
Once they start to be, like, people, I feel like that's kind of the line.
But you also can't tell parents what to do with their kids and their families. It's just, like, a weird line and it made me feel not great.
And it's also weird to think, too, because, like, what if that had been Ric Flair and Charlotte Flair?
Well,
we would maybe feel very differently about it now with hindsight of, like, oh, well, she was going to be part of this life, but, like, you can't predict that at the time.
Well, especially since, and a lot of people brought it up, but think about how, like, the Foley kids have talked about how, like, horrifying it was for them as children. Like, these children don't, like, understand, especially her. Like, maybe his older sons get it, but, like...
Yeah, and they're, like, trading on that emotion, too, which
also, like,
is a little weird.
It was weird for me to talk so sexually in front of the daughter. Like, she doesn't get it, but it was, like...
That didn't bother me.
That bothered
me. I think she's young enough that it doesn't...
Yeah, but, like, she's gonna see that someday, and it's, like...
Yeah.
That bothered me. I don't know. Maybe I worry kids too much, but I was, like, I don't like this. But it's weird, because I don't feel weird about, like... Birdie in the Instagram stories, or Monroe on the Instagram, or anything like that.
I really think part of it is that they're just very young.
Well, but
like,
also,
still,
like...
They're going to still continue to do that.
But they're also in a controlled environment by their parents.
Yeah.
Which seems different. I don't know. This is, like, a larger debate that I don't want to have, but, like, that's the thoughts that I had. The match was fine. It was good. It was really slow. It could have been cut down. It was 22, almost 23 minutes long, and it, like, that was too long.
I also felt this was another match, like, with...
Joe and AJ and Miz and Daniel in the context of this card and how long it was, like, the storyline and the matches, like, I get it, and they're all good wrestlers, but, like, for this show, it was too much.
Yeah, I was just gonna say,
I mean,
felt
the main
same
event
way
was 6 minutes long.
About, about Miz and Brian than I did about Joe and AJ, where, like, I realized part of the way through this, like, oh, there's no way that this is the end of this, and what kind of shenanigans are we going to get up to that is going to continue this feud going? And, like, I like that this is going to keep being a feud, and I think that they're having an interesting feud, and it, like you said, it's something for AJ to do that's very different, and I appreciate that. But it also, like, it's weird to be at the beginning of a feud at SummerSlam.
Right.
It just is, it feels very strange that, like, is this the jumping off point that we should be doing? And maybe it's because now we start that, like, swing into Survivor Series and they're trying to pull people in through that who only watch casually, but I don't know.
It's weird.
This is another one of those, like, booking decisions that I felt like, overall, I really enjoyed the show, and overall, as a card, I think it was very good. But these individual booking decisions to, like, start feuds at what is supposed to be, like, a period on what you've been doing before feels very bizarre to me.
We already talked about Miz and Daniel Bryan. Mostly it's about Miz and, or Maryse and Brie. That's what I got from it. Uh-huh. Finn Balor the Demon with his ribbon dance.
No one believed me. I fucking told all of you that it was gonna be the Demon.
You know who loves the Demon? Nick.
Yes.
He was like, this is so cool.
It is cool.
This is so cool. And I was like, man,
it's so cool.
Finn Balor, so, like, I don't really care.
It's so cool.
It was cool, and it was cool to experience live, and I'm glad that he got a fucking squash. Like, that's it's how appropriate. It should be.
That's exactly how it should be. It felt like they finally
understood. Last time he did the Demon, he had a pumpkin face, so, like, excuse me while I don't do backflips for the Demon, but this was the appropriate use for him.
Right. And also, I love the ribbon dancing. It was so stupid.
Whatever.
It was
you hated so it weird. On Twitter, but you like it now.
No. That's what I mean. It's like, I hated it, and it was so stupid, and I loved it. He was, like, twirling his ribbons around, and, like, everybody seemed to be so into it. I loved it. I thought it was great. I, of course, want him to have a chainsaw over the ribbons, but, like, I will literally take whatever I can get from the Demon.
Coup de grace still sucks. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy lost and did some fucking moves that were crazy.
Yeah.
Welcome to Nakamura.
I love it.
Proud citizen of Nakamura.
Absolutely.
Also good for Jeff Hardy for losing his shit and beating up Randy Orton. Fuck that guy.
Awesome. And I like that it doesn't involve Nakamura.
Yeah, I want Nakamura to have a different person. I want him to, like, let Jeff and Randy do their weird...
Do your own shit, yeah.
Weird, like, maybe past your prime and shouldn't be here.
It's very weird that Randy is now doing a legend killer thing with someone of his literal generation. Like, it's very bizarre. Like, are we really still doing the legend killer gimmick? I don't understand. It's very strange.
I just want Jeff Hardy to be safe and his body to feel okay.
Well,
there's a rumor that Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan are being trained to be producers.
Really?
That's a rumor. Rumor.
Interesting.
For their, like, injuries.
Huh.
Who do you think... Who do you want to see in a feud with Shinsuke Nakamura right now?
That's a good question. I would have to think about who's on SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown doesn't have much of, like, a mid card that's seen on WWE. They're seen on, like, main event and stuff.
Yeah. But honestly, my instinct was Ty Dillinger because I want to see.
I would say Ty Dillinger or Bobby Roode.
Yeah, Bobby Roode. I would enjoy a feud with him. That would be good. I was gonna say Tyler Breeze, but he's not on that show anymore. I feel like part of it is, like, I just want to watch Shinsuke wrestle people who are good at wrestling.
I don't want him to be a heel again, though, so I'm like, Bobby Roode's a face right now, so I would, but he's in this weird feud with Mojo.
I mean, whatever, fuck Mojo.
Fuck Mojo.
I don't give a fuck about Mojo. Move Bobby up into a feud with Nakamura. That would be fun. I would actually really enjoy that.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey with Natalya. I wept like a baby. I really cried in the audience. I was like, yeah, Natty, you can. You look great in that jacket. You're doing this in front of you.
Aww.
That's like, and I like that she was, it was clear, like, a lot of people, when their parents die or family members die, like, they go back to work because they need it. And it was, like, very, and she even said that. She was like, I needed to be here. Like,
that's also sad. When my grandpa died, the next day I went to work and I told my boss, I was like, here's what happened. This is, like, a huge bummer. Obviously, I'm sorry to drop this on you, but I need structure. I need to be here and, like, just have a normal day and be alone, like, in my own space. It is very comforting, and, like, you're around people who give a shit about you but also appreciate that you need structure. Like,
yeah,
good for her.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Okay, like, I don't know what this match looked like on the screen, but it didn't look great in real life.
Is this like when I complained about Ronda and you were like, you're just being really judgmental?
I don't know, because it didn't look as bad on the screen. I'm asking you, what did it look like? It looked, it looked choreographed.
Yeah, I went back, I've watched this match 3 times
Well,
now.
It's only 4 minutes long, so.
Yeah, I know, that's why. I was like, it helps that this is extremely short, so I can just watch this a bunch of times in a row.
Let's talk about the makeup first.
Okay, here's the thing. Her makeup was weird when they did that first shot of her. And then she came out with this, like, weird smear, and I felt like it was a response to the fact that people had been talking shit about her makeup for, like, 4 hours, basically. And it also felt like, I didn't notice until I watched it, like, the third fucking time, that it wasn't a red base like she normally does, it was a pink base. And so I also wonder if it was, like, people are talking shit about my makeup, and every other woman here is doing some kind of heart tribute, and I'm not. And I felt like...
Not every other woman.
Well, like...
Becky didn't.
Like, every woman
who's close... She also turned heel.
Yeah, and, like, every woman who's close to Natty basically did. And, like, Becky had pink in her gear. She had those, like, pinks and periwinkle purples and stuff. But not in, like, the same way that Carmella and Charlotte did, obviously. So I kind of wonder if maybe that was what she was thinking. And she, like, went back to her team and was like, do this thing to my face. But it just, like... It made her look like she had no eyebrows, which was not good. That was
Here's the thing.
It was... It makes no sense with her character.
Right. It doesn't make any sense with her character, which is the number one problem.
Right.
But from the neck up, if you just took that and you took the tagline, baddest woman on the planet, that kind of works. Because she looked like a scary dragon.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do the, like, braids and stuff, like, don't just put in a ponytail. The thing that pisses me off, it's like, okay, in UFC, she didn't have to do anything extra makeup-wise or whatever to be
literally the opposite.
Baddest woman on the planet or whatever. She just did the braids and no makeup and look scary because they're about to, like, actually kick each other in the face or whatever. Right. Like, right? Like, that, everybody that walks inside the octagon kind of has that energy, mm-hmm. right? And everyone knows Ronda from the UFC. So they're trying to keep this Ronda UFC thing with the gear and, like, yes. they keep referencing it and we all know where she came from. But at the same time, they want to give her a wrestler's gimmick. But they're not committing to it. So she doesn't have an actual fucking character. So doing heavily influenced character-based makeup and hair, but also trying to maintain a UFC
tie. It's very disconnected.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah,
well, and it's not just the UFC tie, it's that they also want her to be Rowdy Roddy Piper, and so they're trying to do, like, tie-ins with his gear and her UFC stuff, and then she has this different thing going on with her face and hair. Like,
they literally just have to pick it. Like, you can be...
not cohesive.
On pay-per-views, scary dragon lady who, like... Because, like, that picture of, like, when Alexa has her around the neck and then she, like, scowls and the makeup really intensifies it.
The second time I watched it, I enjoyed that spot more.
I get where it's coming from, but it's just so poorly thought out.
Yes.
The makeup part didn't even, like, piss me off poorly executed-wise. I'm like, whatever. Like, you're, like, head up, I kind of get where you're going, though. Like, your hair shouldn't be pulled back, like, that tight. But, again, you're trying to do this, like, walk the line between the UFC, WWE thing, but, like... If she's in WWE right now, like, everybody remembers who she was.
Yeah.
She can have the UFC gear on the, like, main show and the, like, Roddy stuff. But, like, if you're going to commit to Scary Dragon Lady on the pay-per-views, just do it. Like, Becky doesn't dress like that on the regular shows.
Right, exactly.
Like, figure it out.
Yeah, you've got to find some kind of... That's part of
it. It's just not cohesive.
Yeah.
And it's coming from a weird place.
They need to find some kind of bridge for it. And it's... I mean, I've had this complaint about Ronda basically since she got here, is that... You have to give Ronda a character that's not just, I'm Ronda Rousey. Invite all the criticism about how she's a terrible fucking person in real life. If you give her Scary Dragon Lady that is reminiscent of I'm real life Ronda Rousey, but is wrestling, like, I would like that more. One of my major complaints about the footage that they show of her is, like, maybe if I saw her doing goddamn wrestling training ever, I would feel better about it. But all I ever see are photos of her fucking punching, like... That's not what I'm interested in seeing from her. Like, she has a couple of very strong moves. Her weird F5 imitation is good. Or, like, I like
the
it.
The way she, like, lifted Alexa up onto her shoulder. Yeah. And how they utilized Alexa's double joint, which I had wanted all along. Like, that looked great. Like,
I totally agree with
there
that.
There were moments in this that were good, but it just was not cohesive.
She like, works against herself in so many ways that I was surprised about, like, trying to do the yelling and, like...
Yeah, I heard a lot of people be like, she shouldn't be talking that much. I didn't go back and watch it. I intended to, but, like, you know, ooh. I didn't want to. I didn't get that part of it.
She was asking the crowd questions, like, do you want me to do this? And it was like, girl, no, it's don't.
Like, but the thing is, like, the crowd that's there, most of us can't hear you.
Yeah.
Like, audience at home can hear you.
Exactly, and it's like she has this understanding of what it looks like on TV, but not the execution of it in real life. Maybe that's because she's only wrestled a handful of times. I'm sure that that's part of it. Is like,
I do think each time she gets in, I'm less nervous.
I would agree with that, and I feel like Alexa is very good at dodging having to do any kind of wrestling, and so it, like, worked in this particular instance. Like, most of this match was Ronda yelling at her from inside the ring. I don't think
that's Alexa's fault.
Oh, I absolutely think it's management doing the exact same shit.
I just feel like everybody blames Alexa for the, like, Roman Reigns treatment and stuff. And I, like, don't blame her, and I think that she does works really hard, and I just don't.
I dislike her for the exact same reasons I dislike Roman. And it's right, exactly, but like it's you're not. Saying. It's her not their. Fault. It's neither of their fault. It's just that management has decided that they're. The
and Alexa child. For a long time was really good.
She was really good, and that's why it's disappointing now to not see her do shit ever. Right. And part of me wonders, like, did she get an injury we were never told about because they wanted to keep as this like poster child, and that's why she doesn't do stuff now? Like, it just seems so inexplicable. Other than we don't want you to get hurt, but then like you're not an exciting performer if you don't do that.
Oh, they also announced that Charlotte is or that Alexa is going to face Trish Stratus at Evolution. What a weird choice.
It is a weird choice because both of them are good wrestlers, but both of them need someone to elevate them, and so it's going to be weird to watch them wrestle each other. I don't think it'll be bad, but it's gonna
I feel
be...
bad for Sasha.
I feel like I agree. I feel bad for Sasha because she's really wanted this for a long time. But it also feels like she's gonna be doing some kind of tag team involved thing, and like
for sure,
it does not make sense storyline wise.
No, for sure. But it's just like suck. Alexa,
unless
really.
Trisha and Lita tagged up, and it's another ex best friends hate each other, etc. But like, yeah.
I would have rather seen Trish and Mickey. I know we've seen it before, but I would like a redemption match almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
They have a lot of women to make
they
do a lot of things.
A lot of matches to make. Any other thoughts about wrestling? There were other things that happened on SmackDown and Raw, but like, yeah. Who cares?
Oh, we didn't actually talk about Brock and Roman.
We did. We talked about it with Dean and Seth and Dolph and Drew.
I mean, I will say,
big fan of Roman Reigns. Lots of people are going to come around on him now.
I'm happy to see
the
belt.
Can't wait to hear the, like, audience, like, be like, oh, do we boo, do we cheer, we don't know. Oh,
they're
my God.
They're doing full John Cena with him, and it's totally fucking working right now. Brock was, like, the perfect person to, like, tip him into
after,
John
like,
Cena.
After, like, 400 years of that.
Right.
It finally worked.
They, like, finally figured out how to make Roman
a
good guy.
Yeah, you have to make Brock an actual bad guy. You can't just say that he's a bad guy. You have to make him a bad guy.
Same with Roman. You can't just say he's an underdog. You have to actually make him an underdog. And like, yeah, we just all got dragged through this for 3 years, but it does feel very redemptive to have the fucking belt back.
Yeah.
And like when he was like, I'm a fighting champion and I'm gonna fucking do this, it was like, oh yeah, it is super nice to see the belt every week.
Yeah, that's why SmackDown's every week fun. With Kevin Owens, who is great and everyone should praise.
Uh-huh. Maybe losing a bullshit
fuck
match.
You, Braun Strowman.
Fuck you, Goldberg.
Fuck you, Goldberg.
All these ham men.
Any other thoughts?
No. That's it.
All right, we got one review.
All right.
This is from Flower Mouth. It says, Aaron's job.
Oh.
It's a 5-star. Big fan of the show. I've been binging some old episodes and heard about what Aaron's job has done to her. I definitely feel like you should use the whole situation they've thrown at you and use it to your advantage to get that promotion/raise. Let them know how much of an asset you are by mentioning how many people it actually takes to do your job in a day. Use their abuse towards you against them and make them literally pay for it.
Damn!
Hope things get better for you. Thank goodness wrestling and wine go so well together. Heart, heart, heart.
That's so nice.
It's just a
thank
review
you.
That was giving you a lot of advice.
Oh my God, that's such positive advice too. It's so funny because like I just had this networking thing yesterday with a mentor who basically gave me that same advice where she was like, this is out. It was nice to talk to someone who was like, who works in a similar field as me, who was like, this is outrageous.
Outrageous.
I like know that, but also like, you know what it's like to be like, imposter syndrome. I don't deserve these things. I'm sure I deserve this mistreatment in so many ways. So thank you. I really appreciate that. That was very nice of you. And thank you for the 5-star review.
5 stars. 5 stars. Go to iTunes.
5-star us.
Pew pew. We're pew-pew. So good. We're about to hit our 3-year.
Yes.
Next week is our 3-year anniversary.
We're going to be part of PodSlam. We tweeted about this earlier, but we're going to be part of PodSlam this year.
With the heels and heels.
Heels and heels.
We're doing a team-up episode.
It's going to be
a mess.
It's going to be a fucking mess. I'm very
it's
excited
be
about it.
It's going to be a Taryn Terrell-style hot-ass mess.
I am so excited. I'm so ready. Are you going to wear gear again this year, or are you like, I'm done with that? Because you wore the Marty gear last year.
I guess I could wear Punk or Brie.
Obviously,
but it's so like water stained from all the alcohol I spilled on it.
That's hilarious. You gotta come out as Maurice playing Brie, though.
Brie, I'll wear the gear, but I'll like wear the shorts and the spats. But maybe I'll wear a Brie mode tank, a shirt, because the top is like really fucked up.
Oh, I know. Because
remember last time my wine bra exploded.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, it's all fucked up.
I did carry you off the stage.
Just dripping in, like, juice.
I also then had to clean the stage after that.
Well.
I mean.
It was more traumatizing for me because the gimmick of my act exploded 30 seconds before I had to go on stage. Okay, it's bro?
Also the most Brimo thing ever. Like, I don't remember who was tweeting about this, but I'd forgotten that the whole reason Brimo was invented because she got so drunk she threw up all over Nikki's tits. Like, that's where Brimo comes from. So it feels especially appropriate that your wine bra exploded.
Brimo! You can support us on Patreon.
Hell yeah, you can.
Patreon.com/NotYourDemoPod. We're recording whatever WrestleMania we're on.
Seven, I think.
We're recording WrestleMania 7 on Saturday and an extra thing on Saturday, so you'll get that in your feed next week.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
You can also buy our shirts at onemaneuver.com.
Yes, you can.
You can rate, review, and subscribe, which I already said, but you should do it. Saying it twice, because it's so nice.
You can send us an email at notyourdemo@gmail.com. We haven't gotten an email in a minute.
You always say that.
Because we haven't!
In a minute. It's like our fucking catchphrase. Okay,
it's been like several months. How's that?
It's been like a couple weeks. We got some from Joe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember.
She doesn't even pay attention to this podcast. You can find us on the internet. I'm at Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at Earn Gen C.
You can also find us on Not Your Demo Pod, which you should fucking follow, please. And also KateSideSeeds.com.
Yes.
I mean, at KateSideSeeds. But both of those. They're both relevant.
Both of those things are relevant. Absolutely.
Cool, 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 cool.
Cool, 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 cool.
Bring it
Two words.
No, don't even need it. We're so hype.
All right. Awesome. Bree mode. Bree mode. Bree mode. Bree mode.
But overall, though, you've nearly oh my god. What the fuck was that?
I don't know. Oh my god. Something clearly fell over. I think that the person upstairs has a cat.